welcome back to another edition of the West Shore Business Podcast. We're excited today because I have two of my favorite things, one being John Jurisic, my co-host, who's always right here with me for these. And number two, we're talking about beer today with Graham from V2V Black Hops Brewing. And Graham, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, you guys. Appreciate it.
And John, you know, how are you doing?
Well, I have to say that I'm feeling Monday-ish. It's a Monday that we're doing this. And despite not having to, really do much meetings and despite not having to be in a routine, it still feels like Monday. I don't know how that happened.
At least we're not, you don't have to be in a suit.
Exactly.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm really curious to hear about Graham's business because we're sort of at the beginning of the middle. It sounds like you might have a few people coming your way.
Yeah, and so for those who don't know, I've been driving past the log house for the past 20 years because I live in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But there's been a few changes, and the most recent is your brewery. So maybe you can give us a little background on how that came to be.
Yeah, sure. It's we actually started as a nonprofit organization. You probably know that. So back in June 2018. I set up V2V Black Hops Brewing, and what we're essentially doing is just brewing through other breweries. So, we didn't have a brick and mortar place. People would say, "Where are you located?" And I would say, kind of wryly, "Well, we have no fixed address, really. We're just kind of a virtual brewery, a gypsy brewery, they're sometimes called, or a pirate brewery. I don't know, depends what you like." So we were brewing through Spinnaker's for most of it. And what I did is I did all the marketing and promotions and label design. And, we stored the beer there. We were working in collaboration with them. Wow. And came up with recipes somehow, even though I'm not really a brewmaster. I managed to do some taste profiling and research. And we came up with two different beers, an English amber ale and a Pilsner Kolsch. And the first one you probably heard of is called Victory Ale. The second one was called the Brig, dedicated to the Army, Royal Canadian Army and Royal Canadian Navy, respectively. So I was brewing through these breweries, and we just paid back expenses, and we would be donating the rest of it to one of the three charities and rotating through them that we've been working with. So we realized that, that was okay, but at some point we had to actually think about paying ourselves, which we haven't done yet, by the way, because of this COVID plague.
Right.
But we decided we'd do it in a more sustainable way. So we went from a nonprofit to a for-profit social enterprise in buying the Axe and Barrel, as you know, just on 2323 Mill Stream Road, right beside the Liquor Planet. So we did that in February. We're all set to open up on March 20th, and we got the order to shut down before we even opened on March 18th. So the timing wasn't perfect, really.
Yeah, the world ended for me. Yeah. I that date is March 15th. For me, it was just I'll never forget that day. Holy mackerel!
Were you working, and then? You just work from home or
I'm a labor market consultant, and so I work and help governments facilitate labor market contracts or research with industry, especially on the peninsula. And I'm a commercial real estate agent, and so so both of those things sort of ended, because really, generally speaking, business ended, right?
Everything ended or changed dramatically.
We didn't end, but it's funny, every time I tell the story, I say it was like one of those episodes of MASH where they have to bug out, because we came in and we went, all right, we're going to go remote and we're going to be done in 3 hours. And so we're all packing up stuff we needed and we were out the door, and it was
and kept working your digital agency.
Well, the digital stuff works. I mean, my wife's in IT. A lot of them work from home anyway. So she's saying, "Well, this is great. I'm going to keep doing this because, I don't have to commute all the way into Victoria. Right. You don't have, all the parking and gas and maintenance costs for your car and all that." So, I guess if you're in the digital realm or industry, then it works fairly well. So.
And all the beer you can drink.
That's right.
That's the part I'm missing.
But you're telecommuting. It doesn't really matter, right?
That's right. You can just be at home.
I guess I would have had both of those beers you mentioned at the Christmas Holiday Beer Fest.
The one. Oh, that's right. Yeah, at Savon Foods Memorial. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it's always a good show, and I definitely remember because I think we talked to you guys for a little while and kind of the story, which really stands out, right?
Thank you. Yeah.
And then I was in there last week and picked up the Ghost, which any sour beer people listening, that's a fantastic beer.
Thank you for saying that. It has its own following, you know, and I'm pretty fortunate that, you know, one of my investors is also my chief operating officer / brewmaster, Duncan Blackman. I'm not sure if you were talking to him or not, but the guy is, not only is he a real go-getter, it's a bit of a stereotype for some of the brewmasters out there, and I'll let you figure that out. But some of them are sort of more artiste, and that's fine, but this guy really, you know, he hit the ground running. But one of the things, you know, with the beer is we've always wanted to have authentic, true to style beer. Right. So if you have, you know, you get the English ale, it's actually a true English bitter ale, just not bitter, as you know, or a Pilsner or the Kolsch or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we might play around with some of the flowery beers or fruity beers, but for most of it, it's, you know, they're full on English pints, and you know, you get what you pay for, really, in terms of the type of beer.
Right.
So that Gosa is actually interesting. It's from a town in Germany after the same name, and apparently they've got a river that's running through the town that's quite briny and salty. So that we put add salt to it and coriander and a few things, and now we're allowing people to put in fruit syrup. So it, it's pretty good.
And so you were saying before we started recording here, I can come down now and sit on the patio and enjoy one of those?
Yeah, we've got a little outdoor area, which kind of is adjacent to Millstream Road. And it's funny, every time it was sunny, you know, before we were allowed to open under restrictions, I was looking at that going, come on, you got to get people out there because it's such a nice area. So we've... as you know, most of the I guess pubs, bars, and restaurants have been given clearance here in BC to open cautiously and slowly and with restrictions. I mean, we're at about 50% capacity. Inside, it's really 15 people is all we can get in there because it's a weird shape. We got people coming and going with off sales, going to the bathroom or whatever. So we had to really reduce that to below 50%.
Yeah.
But outside, with the spacing, we've got about 20 to 30 seats. So yeah, you can come on down there. We got a selection of food and 8 beers on tap now. So,
and it was, you know, in this new world, every time I go out, I go through the shopping process, get back to the car, and then go, okay, was that a positive COVID shopping experience or a negative one? And coming into the brewery was definitely a positive COVID shopping, because I came in, somebody was there right away to help. She gave me a little taster, and I was able to get, I think I got a couple growlers and a six pack, and everything was clean and sanitized. And I was out the door, and I didn't really even touch much except for what I took with me. I didn't
that's
open
good to
the
know.
Door, actually. The door was open. That's my favorite part, is if you can just walk in.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't really think of that. But, you know, we were in touch with the BC CDC, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Or BCDC, the Center for Disease Control. So, again, you know, our brewmaster operations guy, you know, he was talking with them. He was talking to the actual CDC as well in terms of, you know, how we should anticipate opening. Even for the pre-opening off sales and people coming through with the little drive-through that we set up, which is really virtually no contact other than us touching their trunk handle, you know, and loading the beer in the back, and of course everything sanitized. So I don't know, chalk that up to a sort of military style training and protocols, I guess, but we're being pretty careful with it, because as you can imagine, I mean, we want to be keeping people safe, including our staff. But it's optics too. I mean, we weren't refilling growlers, and that was actually becoming a bit of an issue. There were some people who had like 12 of our growlers, and they bought these things from us, and they're coming back going, "You can't refill this." And we told them, "Look, I'm sorry, we can't." So we knew that we could sterilize it all, but we were asked by the liquor board not to do it. Most pubs weren't refilling. Mm-hmm. We are now because we're reusing plates and cutlery and glassware, so we'll refill the growlers. So we've been trying to do everything pretty assiduously and keep everyone safe. So
I'm so proud of you. You know, like I've been watching some of the reaction down south, and it is a proverbial, am I allowed to say shit show on the
what? That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
We have no censors.
And here we are up in BC. There's a guideline. You can access what you're supposed to do, I think.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
if you follow it, well, obviously you're not going to make as much money in the short term, but we're just ebbing here onto the onto summer. And so in a couple of weeks, people sort of be in a routine with you. And I mean, I really hope that Kelly and I can do a podcast with you at your establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And just couldn't do that if you weren't following these rules, which they don't seem to be doing down south. I don't know what's going to happen in the U.S. Oh my God, that is just that's crazy.
It is. It is. Like you said, the first word that came to mind for me was it is a shit show. And they're saying that with BC, I don't know. I mean, don't quote me on this, but the fact that we were not locked down seemed to go better for us in BC, and that people were a little bit more responsible. You still see the beaches are crowded. Some people are just not doing what they're supposed to do and not really being smart about it. But I think for the most part, the majority were quite good at, maintaining
spacing the rules,
and isolating and so on. Exactly. And it's come out well for us. I just hope it doesn't, the second wave or whatever. Hopefully that's going to be okay when the weather gets colder. But right now, I'm not even looking at that. I'm just looking at getting as many people through and trying to cover lost ground for the summer.
Yeah.
One of the things we've talked about a lot is sort of the mental health side about being quarantined, but then also that anxiety of going back out and going places. And and we talked a lot about this. I think that was with Mitzi, where we said, you know, the businesses that are doing it right and that you don't have that same anxiousness going in because everybody's following the rules and it's easy and they've set it out properly, we're going to tend to go back there more often. And I've mentioned, I think, Liquor Planet a few times on our podcast over the past couple months, because they've done a fantastic job. And you guys are doing a fantastic job. So
that's such a power corner. What a power corner that is. Yeah,
it's pretty fun. I mean, we're under the same roof as direct competitors to the Loghouse Pub, but we've met with those guys and, you know, we went over a few things. And for the most part, I mean, we're, getting along quite well, just sorting out a few things because we're kind of the new kid on the block, although the Axe and Barrel's been there for a while, right?
Yeah.
You know, for 5 years or so. But you touched on something really interesting, Kelly, is that people had to feel safe. So we were actually talking to people with our masks on because it's all counter service, right? Which is what we had envisioned anyway, because I can't afford a team of servers, at least not yet. And we were saying to people, okay, so how was the experience? And most people said, I mean, of course they love the beer.
The food's pretty good too. Of course, yes.
Of course. I mean, it's a given, really. It doesn't really need to be said. But
they said, that's great.
But they said, you know what? We liked it because we saw that you guys were sanitizing the tables, that, you know, everyone was keeping their distance. We got, like, tape everywhere. I mean, it's fairly straightforward. I guess it can be a little confusing, but we were keeping the distance, we were controlling the flow of people coming in the door. Most people are actually quite well trained now anyway, if I could say it that way. But overall they said it was a positive experience and they felt safe. So I mean, we've even had people driving by there and I can see them looking, and then they'll drive by again and then eventually they park and come in. I mean, there's people that are being that cautious about it. So
well, the behavior will change, as I've mentioned to Kelly and on other podcasts. This is the sixth or seventh sort of economic dislocation that I've worked through. I think it fundamentally is the most severe because everything stopped. That has never happened It's slowed down, you know, there's been shocks. But now, if we recall in 9/11, and when that was an economic shock because the U.S. shut down their borders, travel stopped for a while. And then there were implemented were all these security measures. I mean, it was such an affront, if you recall, at the beginning. And I'm really surprised by the American reaction. Like, they would put up with that, but they can't even wear a mask. I mean, they're fighting and killing each other to wear a mask. And yet on a security, going through security in an airport, your rights are on the line right there. I mean, you don't have any until you get through it.
It's so interesting, it's, isn't it?
Right?
Injecting Lysol as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what the hell's going on with that, with pot, you know, Tide Pods and Lysol. And I mean, isn't that supposed to be the most powerful country on earth?
Yeah, totally. Well, I can't wait to do a podcast with you in your that could be a real regular podcast, Kelly. Attaboy.
Yeah.
Thanks for
there you go.
Thanks
for a couple beers.
Hey, right?
We'll do a taste.
Get you a couple beers. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What could you tell us a little bit more broader? I mean, this podcast started about the notion of positive business going on in the West Shore. We felt that it wasn't being properly represented. That's not a bad thing. It's just the way media works these days. And just what is your sense about business in Langford or business in the West Shore in general? Is it perking up? Well, what are your sort of thoughts about that?
Yeah, well, that's kind of tough. I mean, you know, we've kind of got our ear to the ground. You know, I don't believe everything that I hear, but I have to say, you know, and I want to err on the positive side here, but really there's not a lot that I can say about that yet. We've heard that there's a few businesses in the hospitality industry that are just not going to be able to reopen, which is really sad.
Yeah.
And I won't mention any names because I just, again, they're just rumors. But I think, I don't know. I think everything was just pretty much shut down. I don't know how many of the other ones are coming to life. I know that the log house, that's adjacent to us, I think they're opening up, June 1st. Mm-hmm. So people haven't really jumped on it right away. And I've just, you know, I mean, I think the Starbucks is open for the drive through now, and slowly, you know, they're coming out of this kind of hibernation, isolation period. But I expected everyone just to jump on it. I mean, we couldn't wait, and we were trying not to second guess the provincial health orders, but we're like, okay, is it gonna be 50% capacity? Is it gonna be 2 meters between chairs, or, you know, or between tables rather, or 2 meters between people? And we were trying to get as much information as possible so that we could get prepared, because, you know, we're running at a loss. I mean, most places are. So we're just trying to slow that down. And now with the lounge open inside and outside, then we're going to hopefully, you know, slow that loss down. I mean, I'm not even paying myself or the brewmaster right now. Mm. I mean, we're volunteers. The only ones being paid are the servers. So.
Yeah.
We'd like to get to that point, so it's not just a hobby, right?
Well, that's a real power corner, and now we'll explode. I mean, so we, my wife and I were visiting somebody, and then we thought, okay, let's go to Costco because we're out there, and we were at a showing, a condo showing. We're kind of, I'm a realtor, that's what I do, you know, and we couldn't believe the construction going on off of Pete Road and something, Orando or Oriana or something like that, Pete Jacklin. And then you drive around there, like there's just tons of construction. And you go up to Costco. I mean, they're blowing the shit out of that hill.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many places are going to be up there. Then as you go down your way, you know, up beside the gas station up there, there's going to be a bunch of condos or rentals or something, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we can't wait.
I mean, if all of you can make it through this, the gentrification of that whole place.
Oh, yeah.
Is like, oh, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've definitely got an eye on that. Not to mention the place that, like going up McCollum there towards the Costco, I was thinking of taking the Humvee up there just to exercise it a bit, but I thought I better not.
This is Langford. You can still do that stuff.
Yeah, right. There you go. I took my kids, and they're like, "Are you going up that?" And I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Well, can we get out?" And I said, "No." And I think the hikers were wondering what we were doing up there. How we got up there. But yeah, with all the residential areas being developed, I just hope they can continue on. I mean, with this market, who knows who's going to be able to afford those things. But yeah, that's pretty exciting. You know, Western Speedway, I guess. I mean, a lot of people want to keep it. I mean, I'm kind of ambivalent because, you know, I think it's kind of nice to have that there. But that also could end up being a residential area.
Oh, too, totally. I'm guessing, right? Yeah. It's become too valuable. That's the problem. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. running cars around there versus... what, 500 condos or like, hello.
Right? Light industrial too, I think.
Oh, okay, okay.
Oh, it is too. Oh, interesting. Oh,
right on.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's great for us because, I mean, we're the only brew pub in Langford. Yeah. And, you know, we want to try and capitalize on that. Just today, we've got an order of beer that's going out to Alberta, which I finally teed up. And cool. It's going from the, well, I'll be polite. The country of British Columbia to the country of Alberta, liquor-wise.
Right, exactly.
Challenging, you know. And we're going through all the right channels so it can be taxed to death. But we're going to have that. Yeah, I know. It's not as straightforward. You think, you know, have to declare customs or something. But we're having that moved out. It's going to Wainwright, an Army base there. They love what we're doing. Cool. Someone brought some samples of beer out there. One of the soldiers and went to a liquor store for us. Just amazing of this guy. And the liquor store manager said, oh, we want this yesterday. So we're trying to expand the wholesale operations, which are largely missing still because the pubs, bars, and restaurants are still closed, right?
Yeah. So you mentioned at the beginning there that you were donating to three specific charities, or how does that part work?
Yeah. Thanks for asking that. Well, I'm a military veteran, so I set this up to support charities, to give back a little bit. Essentially, you know, most people know what's going on with the Veterans Affairs Canada, and I'll make no qualms about saying that Veterans Affairs Canada has dropped the ball, and they're returning money to the Treasury. There's veterans that are still committing suicide. People don't have the mental capacity or the drive or the know-how, especially with having suffered trauma-related injuries, to go through this extensive claims or appeals process. It's just ridiculous. So we tried to move forward saying, you know what, we're going to give some of my fellow veterans some support as much as we can, as well as first responders. So that's police, firefighters, paramedics, medical staff, 911 operators, you name it. So the three charities that we've been supporting are, one's local, it's in Colwood. We haven't donated to any of these for a while because we're in survival mode. But that's a homeless vet shelter called Cockrell House. It's on the corner of Souk Road and Machosen Road. There's also an equine therapy program in Alberta. It's called Can Praxis. They're treating first responders and military service members, as well as veterans and their spouses or significant others at the same time. And it's all done with horses and clinical psychology and classroom and everything else. We went out to it, actually, my wife and I, just north of Calgary. And the third one is BC and Alberta Guide Dogs. We only gave them one small donation. It was last year. But they're supplying service dogs to military vets. More recently, they've decided to extend that to first responders as well. So that's what got our attention with them. So we try and sort of rotate through. And again, right now we're not donating anything. We're just trying to survive this and we'll go back to doing that.
Yeah.
You're a hero. I love it.
Thanks.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Wow.
Well, the taps have, we've got the POS system so that if you were to come and buy a pint or a growler fill, you know, whatever size growler, there's a certain amount that gets taken from that and put right into an account for donations.
Yeah.
With the business plan, we're projecting, and don't quote me, but we're hoping that, you know, if we reach our numbers, we get out of, you know, this damn plague period, it could be between $5,000 and $10,000 that we could end up donating because of that. People know that they know the response. And they say, well, are you still donating? And we're very transparent. And I just, I say, look, you know, absolutely not right now. I've been in touch with the Member of Parliament for our constituency, Alistair McGregor, who's just been amazing. Because, I mean, I won't tell you all our woes, but we're trying to do that wage subsidy thing and realized that CRA had totally our payroll, we weren't eligible for the wage subsidy because, right. And I've been paying someone since the beginning of February, but due to a clerical error, so they said, well, sorry, guys. Not eligible. So
oh my next. God. We
I've heard a few of those stories.
We've interviewed a bunch of politicians.
Yeah.
And Alistair was the only one who really indicated needed to be some tweaking.
Yeah.
And that the government actually responded pretty quickly. But
we actually launched our podcast with Alistair about 45 minutes ago.
Oh, very cool.
We did with him. Yeah. And one of the things that he had said was how proud they all were of the cross-party cooperation that's going on. That every time a benefit comes out, and we all know there's a whole bunch of people that fall through the cracks, and then they come back a couple days later and they sort of plug some of those cracks, and there's still lots to be done, but it's great to hear at least, especially somebody from an opposition party saying, hey, we're all working together. Which
I think that's terrific too. Yeah, it gives me a lot of hope.
Very Canadian.
Yeah, it's very Canadian, yeah, and as is the way we've all handled this and being kind of, you know, humble and just kind of hunkering down and doing what we need to do without making a huge fuss. And actually, especially in BC, as we've said already, doing quite well with reducing the numbers of new COVID cases. So, yeah, with Alistair, I was really impressed and really thankful. They're still working on that whole CRA mess for me. They're searching for some shred of accountability somewhere, but and hopefully they find it. Well, if not, hopefully it'll be in the Auditor General's report again, but be a little too late for us. But anyway, so they're pretty good with that.
Well, hopefully we get it figured out because we're excited to have you in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, hopefully you guys come down and whether you do a podcast or not, come down, have a beer and, it's on me. The first beer is on me for each.
No, we're right. Buying. We're going to buy a whole bunch.
I got a two.
Well, thank you.
I'm on my way.
Right.
Well, it's good. We can just walk down there, right?
That's right. Yeah, we're close. So. Well, this has been great. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And so refreshing. Everybody in the West Shore, get out there and try the beer. Get down to V2V Black Ops Brewery. Right next to the Log House and Liquor Planet. And I'll say I tried the new Korean fried chicken place.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
There's an outing everybody in the West Shore should do. Go pick up some chicken, get a growler. It's perfect for our quarantine times.
Oh, my God.
Which place
fantastic.
Is that, if I can ask? Which Korean place is that?
The Thunderbird. It just opened up down by the McDonald's there. In that building, Cooperators Insurance.
Oh yeah,
I know
okay.
what you mean.
And another great, and actually from experience, I'll tell you, you can order, you can get down to the brewery to grab your growler, and then by the time you get back, your chicken's ready.
Oh, that's awesome.
These are super insights.
Yeah, that's the Langford. That's the scoop in Langford right now.
No, I'm definitely gonna try that. Here's a silly kind of pickup story for you. We went to order. From one of the restaurants and then realized we couldn't fit the Humvee through the drive-thru.
Oh, no.
Yes, Humvee stories. That's another podcast.
Yeah, so there we were all lined up at the window and people were looking at us going, shouldn't you be in a car? And my kids were just dying a slow death, right? They're teenagers going, really, can we just go wait in the car? I'm like, no. I need someone to help carry the food. So if you want it, you got to line up here and feel it.
How do you really actually get it?
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, I got to get ready for my next Zoom. So all I do is sit here on my big fat ass and Zoom around. Can't wait till we can sit somewhere else and drink and Zoom around.
Right.
Yeah, well, that'd be awesome. Hey, we're getting live musicians in there as well. We had some guys playing, just some local guys. If you guys want to come, we're having someone who's actually a professional musician who's out of work, is with the Victoria Symphony, plays every instrument you can imagine. So real quick, is a bit of a plug for us, I guess, that on Friday he's going to be there, and then periodically we'll have guys just coming over and jamming just under the cover for the outdoor area. So nice. We're hoping to provide a bit of entertainment that way too. And military movie nights are coming up too.
Oh, man.
Oh, this is... so you got all sorts of things going on.
Kelly, these are the kind of podcasts I'm just loving. Let's line up a bunch of these. Or maybe we'll put a mask on or some kind of disguise on Graham and pretend he's someone else but the same message.
We got all sorts of crazy plans. My friends are ex-army. We're like, hey, we should parachute into the parking lot. I'm like, okay, let's kind of think about that, maybe, as long as we don't have anyone squashed or hanging by a lampstand or something. So stay tuned. I've got also some repressed creativity that wasn't allowed in the military, but is now kind of coming out in strange ways.
How do people find you online? Do you have a website or social media?
Yeah. Yeah, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We don't have a big Twitter presence. We're working on that. I'm actually looking for a social media person under that Canada Summer Student Program, which hopefully will be approved before they go back to school. And we also have a website. It's v2vblackhopsbrewing.ca. Awesome. And people can do orders for delivery in the illustrious Humvee or just, you know, look at our menu.
Outstanding.
So. Cool. Well, there you go. I hope everybody checks it out. Thanks for joining us, and can't wait until the next time. Next time we'll have beers in our hand.
Can't wait for the next time.
Sounds good.
All right,
thanks
great meeting
you. Thanks for having me, you guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. Take care. Bye-bye.